You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. Well, we do a segment on this show called Just Regular Old Brunch. We're going to talk about Apple and lots more. Plus, we're in Portland this week, so let's eat. We are out having brunch in Portland, Oregon. We are at Tasty and Alder, and I've got with me Jessica Pressler from New York Magazine and Ben Walsh from the Huffington Post. Welcome to both of you guys.
Hi.
Hi, good to see you.
Should we just get a bunch of things, or do you guys want to get individual things?
I want my own biscuit.
All right, okay. Fine. I want to start with the big news rollout, or I guess we can call it a sales rollout, right? All of the Apple products, the new iPhones, the iWatch, and then the appearance of U2.
The rollout of Bono.
The rollout of Bono.
Right.
Apparently the $100 million rollout of U2. This is a fascinating marketing partnership.
It's really bizarre, and they're a total rarity in the music industry because they actually make money selling music, which is not something that most bands make money doing these days.
So you think they should have given up that slot to a band that doesn't make money?
Yeah, find someone who needs the right. Needs the income. Yeah.
Needs the income.
U2 is not hurting.
Bono does not need another $100 million.
No.
What'll be interesting, and what they didn't really talk about yesterday, was the acquisition of Beats by Dre and the fact that Apple is in the music business now. It could be like they function almost like a label, and they promote these artists that are kind of their artists. They subsidize the creation of music the way that they did with U2.
Let's talk about the new iPhones and the iWatch. The iWatch seemed to capture a lot of people's attention. I guess the question is, what is it? Is it a watch? Is it a tiny computer on your wrist? Is it some weird Dick Tracy fantasy? Are people going to buy this thing?
It's definitely not the weird Dick Tracy fantasy, which I think people wanted. So it doesn't really... All the features of, like, showing you text messages and... They only really work when the phone is on your body. So when the phone is not near you, those things don't work.
And the watch only works with an iPhone.
Of course, yeah.
I think this is like every other Apple thing where it is the first iteration of something that will become cool, but now is not the time that people are going to buy it.
Apple is retiring the original iPod.
It's actually sort of funny like that Apple brought out a watch when they killed watches by bringing out the phone, and they brought out U2 when they killed music by...
Yeah.
there's like the life and death cycle of a Mayfly, but, you know...
I find the killing of the iPod to be Apple's getting out of the hard drive business, which is sort of...
How so?
Well, because the storage on an iPod is insane. It's been kind of quietly and behind the scenes been going up and up and up for years and is now, you know, multiple times what you can get on an iPhone. But people just don't need that much storage anymore.
I bet like 10 years from now you're going to see guys walking around with big original iPods the way that they do with boomboxes right now.
That it will be reclaimed as a vintage
yeah,
thing.
They'll just be like this cool thing. Like, check out my huge iPod.
What do you think?
Sure.
Get right there.
Wow.
Ooh.
That looks yummy. I want to talk about a big public shift that we have seen in the past year, the past couple of years, which is public opinion about banks. Gallup came out with this poll that showed that Americans now have a positive view of the banking industry. What? When? What? What? How did that happen?
I mean, part of it is that from 2008 to 2009, public opinion of banks could hardly have gotten worse. There have been scandals, but they've been kind of complex and they haven't caused a global financial crisis. There's been LIBOR, which...
These are hard to explain, hard to understand.
Yeah, and they really haven't hit home to the real economy in the way that the financial crisis did.
I disagree with that. I think people hear, you know, this bank is paying, you know, $28 billion for mortgage fraud. They see that headline. They know.
I think
they just don't care anymore.
I don't
really buy that the
public
has a positive
view of banks. I'm
still surprised because
the opinion of banks has moved almost 20 points in the past year. That's a lot.
But I think that it also... plays in the fact that Americans are kind of predisposed to have good feelings towards corporations generally. You look at the approval ratings of companies that are in industries like, you know, pharmaceuticals or like big agribusiness that have like, you know, legitimate complaints about the way those businesses impact our lives, and Americans don't have any problem with them.
All right, here's one that I think is an interesting demographic shift that's going to change the way we live. There are now more single people than married people. that is a huge shift from the post-World War II concept of, you know, nuclear family, stable marriage, even things we have written into our tax code to promote marriage.
A couple of months ago, there was this really interesting study that this economist, Justin Wolfers, pointed to that basically said that, like, people are getting married later in life, which everyone kind of feels and knows, and the data backs it up. But what he said is that even though people are getting married later in life, they're spending basically the same proportion of their lived lives married.
Because we're aging?
Because as life expectancy gets longer, basically people are pushing off getting married at a proportional rate.
Huh.
And so we're spending about the same amount of time on aggregate married, even though we're getting married later in life, because we're living long. When people get married and when people move in together, that's a huge economic boost. The economists refer to it as household formation, and basically, like, forming a new household is thousands of dollars of spending over the course of a year.
Okay. All right, we've got food. Right. Let's
anybody want some bacon salad?
Bacon, which looks amazing.
I also have this gigantic spoon, which...
you do. It's like a comically large spoon.
Basically a spatula.
Oh, wait, I don't think I have a fork.
Oh,
no, I do.
How about this one? Iconic American toy being eclipsed by a plastic block. Barbie...
By another iconic.
Barbie is now less popular than Lego. More kids are playing with Legos. What?
I think that's fantastic. Legos are a great toy for kids. They make you think creatively. They make you think. Barbie is laden with all kinds of potentially detrimental.
Oh, I think Barbie would disagree with that. They've been trying to make her president for a long time. She's been, like, in combat. She's done a lot of things.
Barbie has been cycling through every stage of the American economy. But my mother is an early childhood expert, though, and I would be remiss if I didn't focus on the idea of Barbie as, you know, free play where kids can imagine other things. You can start to imagine grown-ups, and you can start to imagine the roles that grown-ups fill. I'm not sure that I would imagine a grown-up with an 18-inch waist. But there's, I don't know, there's some interesting stuff in there. I think probably on the whole, for women, it's a good thing.
What happened to Bratz?
This has been a wonderful brunch. A special thanks to Tasty and Alder for hosting us here in Portland. Ben Walsh from the Huffington Post and Jessica Pressler from New York Magazine. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, did I even try the biscuit?